Ladies and gentlemen, and everyone else, we have a vampire journal introduction at the beginning. Elena starts the episode with Dear Diary. Morgan is made this podcast happen. We owe Morgan so much.
And oh, this is the cult thing.
This no, fuck. Damn it, fuck.
So I've got to say, also faux pas to destroy someone else's phone. That's expensive.
Would you say that it's a
phone pas?
Yeah. So she all is not well in Elena's psyche.
No, nor has it ever been as long as we've known her.
Hi, I'm Morgan.
And I'm Elle.
And this is
The Vampire
Journals.
This is season 4, episode 5, The Killer.
The Killer.
The Killer.
When the Killer.
The Killer.
The Killer.
The Killer.
When this episode started, who do you think the killer was going to be?
I mean,
I thought it was going to be the man who stands behind Wendy Williams.
Yeah.
And
yeah, the
L.
man that Wendy Williams and I share is like the manifestation of our anxieties and fears. Mm-hmm. Have you seen this clip? It's like Wendy Williams.
Honestly, let's
thoughts and prayers, by
we
the
need
way.
We need to unshit man this one. We need to just play it.
Yeah, yeah. Because you're not going to, but basically.
Because we're not going to be able to not talk about this.
Yeah. Okay. This is really relevant to like, because I say the phrase the killer all the time.
All the
now
time.
Because of Wendy Williams.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's such a good way for me to conceptualize the fact that like, oh, I am no, being. Yeah, you go.
I'm going to pass this phone to Morgan.
Yeah, if you could just play this into the mic, though.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll play it.
No, Halloween's not my favorite thing, because I always feel as though that's a free pass for the killer. Don't let the killer get you. Like Halloween, I think it's for ghouls and goblins and for the killer in disguise to choke you.
I think I remember this.
Regular scarves have the ends where the killer can come and just finish you off. I don't want to play music in the shower because I want to hear if the killer is coming. Don't you keep a bat from Yankee Stadium in your night table drawer? They're so convenient. All you have to do, clunk one time with the killer. I've been aware of the killer since birth. Now,
Hannah's pointing to Elle.
You know the killer. And well, what was she doing in the stairwell? Because that's where the killer is. And now but you're in Hasbro. Well, the killer. You know, I believe in a lot of things, including the killer. You never know who you can meet online. The killer. He's the killer. He's the killer. The killer is everywhere. He sounds like he's the killer. The killer is on the loose.
Okay,
this is how
wow
I think.
Incredible.
As it continued and escalated, I was like, it's more and more L.
I found that profoundly relatable.
Yeah, same. I mean, it's I like think that we are
it's,
similar
it's
in many
that
ways.
Thing, it's that thing where it's like, wow, a mental illness I have.
Insane and an anxiety disorder.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's just saying it out loud.
Yeah. Yeah.
The thing that makes it special for me is that she is acting as if everyone else's brain
yes
has the
right
killer that they think about all
which
the
is,
time.
It's, yeah, it's honestly so affirming in
yeah
a toxic way.
Yeah.
Because
yeah
it's affirming something that I shouldn't be
should
as
be
comfortable with.
I should be, yeah.
For
but
sure.
I'm like, of course, Wendy. Of course,
yeah.
Like the killer.
The killer.
It's the killer. So when you say, do you wonder who the killer was? The answer is no.
Mm-hmm. No.
Because I know who he is, sort of in like vibe.
Yeah, like the and killer, like, the killer is a name presence. Yeah.
His name? Details.
The form that
yeah
the killer
yeah
comes
yeah
in is secondary to the fact that the killer is on the list.
His
yeah
threat is always here, and his
present
name I'll only know after.
This is very different from what I was expecting, where it's like, so I was just going to hear, I thought you were going to say, oh, you know, the hunter.
I wish I had known the name of the episode was the killer at the beginning, and B, you'd asked this question before, because I really have felt like we were building to Elena doing a murder.
Mm.
And I don't know if I would have actually guessed that if you'd asked beforehand, but now I want to be like, obviously I knew it was coming,
yeah,
which is
but
insane.
I trust in your ability to have predicted that.
Yeah, I
based
do
on
think,
past
I mean, predictions. The episode revealed that the killer, I mean, if we were going to guess, like, okay, if we were going to say, like, okay, it matters who the killer is, which
right
it never does
right
because he's always right
we've
behind us.
We've already seen the hunter kill.
But the
people
reveal is that in this time, the killer is a she.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's Elena.
And it's Elena. Yeah.
It's she-lena.
And so
the
I...
The kill her.
If I'd spent any amount of time thinking of it, like everyone else that could have killed someone this episode has done it
would
already.
Be, it would
it
be underwhelming.
Not a big deal.
Yeah,
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 yeah.
Unless it was the professor.
True.
That would be a reveal.
I think that he might also be the killer.
Maybe.
But yeah, it was very much one of those things where to mirror, right? Like, he's a big dangerous killer and she's very afraid of killing. But at the end of this episode, she has to do it. Although I don't think that there is a 0% chance that I think he might come back at some point.
Yeah.
I could be wrong, but.
Or he follows a long path of hot girls that to whom we've said goodbye.
Yeah, you know? That's true.
And there's ghosts.
I wish, genuinely, I do wish that we had like a memorial montage.
In memoriam segment.
Where it's like sad music playing and then us going, Lexi, an Andy Starr. Just like listing women. Gina Davis. Like,
yeah.
Just
like, what I want is a sound effect where you, it sounds like you're pressing play on that, but it's fast forwarded. So it takes like 10 seconds. And anytime we're like, the hot ladies of York goes.
That's fun.
And we miss them.
Yeah, that's fun. Really, I like that. That's a fun bit.
Yeah. Yeah.
To think about.
Thanks. And I feel silly because the last episode I was like, oh yeah, he's like such a formidable antagonist. He'll be here. And also I'll kinkfame him. And now it's like, he did war crimes and he died. You know, yeah. I can't really stand by the war crimes.
Yeah. Life's a bitch.
Wait, did he die?
And then you die.
The killer died.
The killer? The hunter?
The hunter.
Oh, right. Yeah. Sorry. I got confused because Elena was the killer of the killer.
Oh, yeah. Sorry,
no, I just had a moment where I was like, I was so visualizing him in Applebee's with his homemade bombs that, and I couldn't remember him dying there because he didn't.
With his fucking IEDs?
Yes. Yeah. Literally, this man, it's so funny because like this man rolls in. He's like a formidable hunter. Mm-hmm. He's so good at killing. Mm-hmm. And then it's revealed through the tattoo stuff. Like, they don't even focus on this as a reveal, which I feel like they could have, which is that he's not killed a lot of vampires. He's killed a few vampires. Yeah.
And like,
he's
and
good
a lot
at
of
killing
guys.
In general.
Yeah, yeah, he's good at killing because he went to war and presumably did like war crimes.
Yeah, right. He was deployed.
Yeah.
That's where he learned all this stuff. So when he rigs the fucking Applebee's with traps and bombs,
like with shrapnel filled IEDs, yes.
And takes civilian teenage hostages.
He shoots a hole into someone.
Yeah, this makes more sense with the church vampire stuff now, actually.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
No, this is just like a human murderer.
Yes.
Of humans.
Oh my God. Yeah. Like, just like in real life, the church shooter is human.
Yeah. Woof. Woof. But like, it really, because for a second, like when we were on the church episode, we were like, you know what? But like, you know, it has unfortunate human implications. But from a vampire perspective, hunter perspective, it's like smart because,
yeah,
like,
right.
You know.
And then it's just like, oh no.
Oh no.
He's just like this.
He's good at this because of the human applications of murder.
Yeah.
Yikes.
Yeah.
Who are
he
you?
He hasn't studied the vampire blade. He studied just regular human blades.
Based on how big the tattoo was before and how much it grew with every time here, I feel like three vampires max.
Yeah, three to five. I'm going to say three to five.
And we already know that one of them was someone he considered
worked
a friend.
Worked with and was like a partner or, which we kind of get into this episode. So it's
what
like,
a way to talk about someone in the fucking army with you. Someone he worked with, a partner?
No, he said he called her a friend.
A friend.
Yeah.
Wasn't it someone from his battalion, though?
No, I think that's the guy who like taught him about being a vampire hunter.
Had the hunter tattoo.
Okay.
And then it's kind of implied like he teamed up like after he got out of the military.
Right.
He also said that his friend, like the friend that turned into a vampire that he had to kill, he said because they thought it was ironic.
Yeah, a vampire turned her into a vampire because he thought it was ironic.
Oh, the vampire thought it was ironic.
Yeah.
Oh, I misinterpreted that scene. I thought what he was, which is why I had a big reaction in the moment, which I now understand why no one else did.
Yeah.
I thought that what he was communicating was, yeah, I had a friend. She turned into a vampire because she thought it would be ironic.
Isn't it ironic?
Wow.
A picture vampire.
And I was like, that's why I said me so loud.
Just like me for real. Sometimes you say me and I'm like, yeah,
sure.
You, I guess.
So
keep
like
it moving.
This is kind of just like,
well, let's,
could I ask for a quick round table of opinions?
Yeah.
Should we finish introducing?
No, you're right. I'm so sorry.
Yes.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
We have Hannah Chiapanos.
Hi.
Who are you?
What
are you the expert in?
I'm sort of a temp assistant to hypnotherapists.
Okay.
So sort of like anytime a hypnotherapist needs like admin help,
what kind of
or just
admin
like
does a hypnotherapist
support around the office,
yeah,
whatever they want.
Okay. I see that you're wearing a short pencil skirt and
yeah, this is my uniform.
Yeah.
So were you there assisting Professor Shane in the hypnosis?
Yeah, I'm kind of like, sometimes like I'll take notes during sessions.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Like, it's what would the notes be?
Sort of just like bubble letters and hearts.
Mrs.
And
Hannah, Professor Shane.
Yeah.
Some washi tape around it.
Yes.
Valentine themed washi tape.
He looks over me. He's like, did you get all that? And I'm like, I made a cootie catcher. Do you want to pick one? And I'm just like doing a little fortune teller trying. And I'm like, wow, all of them say that we should kiss.
He's like, could you take this down? And you're like, I can take it. I'm sorry.
I'm so sorry.
Oh, I can take this down.
Bridget Woodbury.
Who are you?
Bridget is disgusted.
I'm too gay for this.
I respect
Yeah, because gay people don't have sex.
Gay people not don't with get that guy. This horny. Well, that's not true. I was going to say gay people don't get this horny about non-consensual situations.
You are
but
not.
That's
not true.
Yeah, not this gal.
I was like, it's consensual.
Oh, I cannot overstate how much I'm consenting.
My name is Bridget Woodbury, and I write a column for 17 Magazine. It's an advice column called TTYL about texting.
I love that. Aww. I love that.
Wait, was this a thing that existed, or is this a thing that you wish existed?
I think it's probably a combination.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Do you remember the series of books, TTYL, TTFN?
No.
Okay, there was this series of books when I was, I don't know, middle school?
Okay,
L,
so
you
might
remember
this.
Literally, it was all... The novels were
like
told through AIM.
Oh, yeah, that's fun.
I vaguely remember this.
Like almost like epistolary. Mm. Where it's like friend group texting, and then like you can like it'll be their DMs, it'll be group chats, it'll be stuff. Mm. I thought that was so fun, and they were the books were TTYL, TTFN, and then there was a third one that I'm forgetting. Mm. So anyway, I stan.
Mm. Thanks.
Yeah. What kind of problems do people usually texting about?
I think like people have some problems about what expectations are appropriate to have about answering text messages. Mm-hmm. There are people that like don't answer phone calls but do answer text messages. Mm. Guilty.
Yeah, same.
just like stuff like that. There's people who like text you while they're in the Appalachian Mountains and don't like tell you about the hot girls that are there, and that would be a faux pas.
Yeah.
So
certainly.
So, yeah, things like that.
That faux is
I think there were a few texting and calling etiquette problems that I think occurred in this episode. And like, one man who hated phones, he smashed several phones.
Jordan would just like mass text a bunch of people and then destroy the phone. And it's like, well, how are you going to get a reply?
Yeah.
So I've got to say also faux pas to destroy someone else's phone. That's expensive.
Did you say that it's a phone pas?
That was a possible name for the column, but we were worried the teens wouldn't know the phrase. Faux pas. So.
It's also very like it's a very audio like it doesn't read the same.
Yeah, true. It doesn't scan quite as nicely.
Elle, you wanted to do a
round table? I guess just like based on the fact that when we found out that like, oh, this guy's only killed like three vampires, that makes him a human killer, really. More so. Like, how many vampires would a vampire hunter have to have killed for you to be like, this guy's a legit vampire hunter?
How many vampires would a vampire hunter hunt if a vampire hunter could hunt?
Yeah, but like, what's the earmark for like, okay, you're a professional at this?
10.
Okay.
What?
I feel 50. Like,
okay, that's way 50. Too low. Okay, guys, I mean too high. Like
too high.
Because imagine straight up, you are you.
Yeah.
You do something three times and you're like, I guess this is a little bit of who I am now. I've done a big deal thing three times.
No, but I think you can be a vampire hunting aficionado. Elle asked when you become a professional.
Yeah. When you are like, I am a vampire hunter. This is like,
then the answer is when you get paid.
Okay, what if it's like, this is a core part of my identity? Like, this is
that's what I'm saying, right? Like, you do something. Okay, first thing about me is a different
context
threshold.
Context matters, because if you kill 1,000 people at army and 10 of them are vampires, then that doesn't feel like vampire hunting.
Right.
The core.
That's
so
true.
I feel like
you're just the killer.
Yeah. The killer.
The killer.
So I don't know. I feel like 10 is a good number to start assessing whether that's an identity.
Yeah, okay.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, it is really that thing where like you can only realize in retrospect.
Yeah, when it happened for you.
It's like really, it's hard to like set out and be like, okay, when I hit this number, that'll mean this about me.
Yeah,
that's not how real life
works.
There's
less of an apprenticeship process for becoming a vampire killer.
I think he was technically still a journeyman when we saw him.
I can't believe you guys listen to this podcast.
To anyone listening.
We're insufferable.
To anyone listening, I'm sorry.
I'm not.
The episode opens with Jordan taking Venom from the hybrid head. And
this did rule.
It also switched in between him doing that and talking to the professor. The professor is telling him not to harm the witch Bonnie.
Mm-hmm. He's like, I have plans for
her. But he's like, I got plans for her. And then Jordan's like, well, I can't make any promises. Jordan's like, I'm gonna kill anyone that gets in my way. And he's like, fine, I'll handle it. Fine, I'll keep her out of your way. And then it opens.
He says, the less I know about it, the better.
Yeah,
very army of him.
And then it kind of ends that scene where he's like going to the Mystic Grill and he sneaks up on Jeremy.
Mm-hmm.
And he ends up taking Matt and April hostage.
Yeah
he catches Jeremy in like the back rooms of the
unawares
Mystic Grill.
As is Jeremy's natural state.
And what's her name again? Sorry, you just said
April.
It. April shows up. She's the Mystic Grill. God bless her.
Matt's like, brains are scrambled.
Yeah, and Matt's like, oh hey, the grill's not open right now. And she's like, oh, I've been looking for Rebecca. She said she'd help me, and she just like disappeared.
Another person that didn't return text.
Oh.
Unfortunately,
people keep dying on this
reason.
Poor girl.
Yeah she has no idea what's going on. She literally just thinks everyone is ghosting her.
Oh my
literally,
god, later
becoming ghosts.
Later they start talking about vampires in front of her, and she's like, this man's delusional, right?
Yeah.
And it's like, oh girl.
Yeah, you are so lost.
Because she's like, this man's delusional.
I hope you're about to feel slightly less abandoned.
Yeah.
But
she's just like,
but
what?
No, then they throw her into forgetting that again. So she's always going to be, because she was having that with the guy where she was like, why do I feel like I remember this dude?
Yeah, and it's because they keep scrambling her to forget him.
They're scrambling
That's
her brain so bad.
Scary.
They're doing like the, it's like, first of all, it's like the Men in Black, like whatever, where it's like, hey, stop it. Like, you're gonna fuck with her.
Yeah.
Like,
even brain cancer. Like, bleeding out of an ear.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this is where we get Jordan's line, where she's like, what? Compulsion? He's like, secrets. Compulsion. Vampires.
Yeah. Oh my god. Also, when he grabbed Jeremy at the beginning, he goes, I want to talk about vampires.
I know.
And we were all like, wow, just
wait,
like us.
He's introducing our podcast.
Before we dive too deep into the plot, can we talk about the diary thing at the beginning?
Yes.
Oh. Ladies and gentlemen and everyone else, we have a vampire journal introduction at the beginning. Elena starts the episode with Dear Diary.
Yeah, and then it's cross-cut with Stefan.
Yeah, it's wild. And it's just them contradicting each other back and forth.
Have we at least averaged to one a season?
I think so.
Yeah, at least one or two.
It starts with Elena saying, I haven't needed or wanted to write this stuff down.
Mm-hmm.
It's a way to justify to us that the vampire diary has been.
It's so funny. It's like realistic and like it makes sense for a character, but we know that it's because they're like, okay, we haven't done this in a while.
Here are a couple of quotes I'll share.
Yay!
Elena, I'm a vampire and I hate it. Stefan, she's been spiraling since her transition, but now there's hope. Cut to Elena, there's no hope. I think those are the good ones.
Those are good.
Yeah.
Just like really, I love when they're like, this is a teen girl. Please remember.
I know. Yeah. I genuinely do appreciate it because it's like, damn, this girl. Like everyone in this show is so focused on taking everything in stride that they're not giving any like respect to the fact that insane shit is happening to them 24/7.
Yeah. That there's stuff to process.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And Elena's, especially this episode, seems to be spiraling. She mentions like two separate times that Jeremy is the only thing holding her together now.
Yeah,
and specifically, it's not even he's holding me down. She's like, I'm the only person he has left, so I have to hold it together for him.
Yeah,
which is very martyr of her.
Yes,
as per
usual. Yeah. She has a lot. He has not been expressing this about his sister. We have not really seen him do a ton of processing about the fact that his sister is now a vampire.
Yeah.
The last time we checked in with him was before she was a vampire, and he was like don't be a vampire, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And then she's been a vampire.
Can you just, like, stop?
And then he's kind of been on his own shit, right? But she has put so much on it where she's like, we are the only two people of our family left. The fact that he, like, him being okay is the only thing that I care about right now.
Yeah.
Like, I'm the only family he has. Like, she's got so much riding on him.
Yeah.
Talking to him about none of it.
Yeah.
None of it.
Yeah.
Something that they could really both use, which is like a normal thing for siblings who have been through shit, to just like have a check-in and be like,
that was fucked up, right?
Hey, like, our situation's really fucked, but like, we've got each other.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Gang, gang. Moving on. Right.
Yeah.
That's normal. They never have that moment. Mm-hmm. I think it would really do them some good.
Yeah.
I don't even know if Jeremy's capable of it. Mm. It's like really hard to tell.
Honestly,
he's a moper.
I don't know if Elena is either, because she's parentified herself so much.
Truly.
Yeah. Like, I think anytime she feels like she's weak in front of him, she's like, I'm failing my brother.
Mm. And because she has mentioned.
Jenna used to do the same thing.
Mm-hmm. Jenna used to do it. Elena has acknowledged that, like, oh, Jeremy needs me because we're all we have left. I think this is the first time she's admitted to herself while admitting it to Stefan, like, I need it.
Yeah.
Mm. Right.
I will fall apart.
Yeah.
Not just Jeremy.
Yeah. Where she made it a little less projecty and a little more honest.
Yeah.
You said that you wanted to do a roundtable opinion thing.
Oh, yeah. That was the vampires. How many vampires?
Okay.
How many vampires would have to kill before becoming legit?
Screw in a light bulb.
Probably more than you've killed humans. Is the holistic
I think
answer.
I was thinking it was a ratio.
A Katie Raish.
So Klaus calls Stefan from Italy while he's digging up a sword.
Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah. So Klaus is going to Italia.
Yeah.
He's on a dig site in Italy, and Italy looks just like the forest outside of Mystic Falls.
Absolutely.
but yeah, he's got a bunch of people digging up an ancient sword. Okay. And like, so he calls Stefan. What do they talk about on the phone?
He basically is like, don't tell anybody.
Yes.
Just a reminder.
Yes. He threatens to kill anybody who finds out, which is the whole reason why Stefan wouldn't tell Damon for a while.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So Klaus wants to keep it like, you know, hush hush, that this could potentially be the key to like the cure of vampirism.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, later on, Tyler calls Klaus later.
Yes.
Okay. The hostage situation has begun at the Mystic Grill. And Jordan sends out a mass text that essentially says to all the vampires, like,
Sorry. What he says on the phone is he's like, you need to find the hunter and you can't kill him.
Yes. Yeah. We can't kill the hunter because he is the key to...
The note that let me know that says, go get Hunter Daddy. So...
You have your own shorthand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just a little stenog work.
Mm-hmm. Like me in the corner of the hypnotist sessions.
But yeah. So once this text, this hostage text goes out, like all the supernatural creatures in the area basically convene and are like, what the fuck do we do? Stefan's like, we need to handle this carefully. We can't get anyone dead. And then Damon is like, let's go in guns a-blazing and kill this guy. Yeah. And Elena is like, we have to keep Jeremy safe. And also other people, I guess. So Stefan...
Someone also pointed out that the hostages were the only remaining humans.
Yes, yeah. He basically collected all of the humans and seemed to like not want to kill them, but be very willing to kill them.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, if it came down to it.
All the human teens, at least.
Yeah, it was interesting because I did really like that all of the remaining humans were all grouped together, because I was like, fuck yes, it's time for the humans to get on board with,
and one of them
like,
was having her mind
human
blown
stuff. And then that went nowhere. I was really I like,
it would be cool if the humans like managed to fend for themselves.
Even in back in Alaric days, I kept like being like, yes, like start a human org about protecting human interests from these super, like, you can work with the supernatural stuff, whatever, but like, you guys are losing.
Yeah.
Right.
You guys are cannon fodder in other wars.
The one thing they did do is Matt remembered that there used to be tunnels underneath the Mystic Grill and like opened the vent and was like, but it's bricked over.
But then Stefan had to come from the other side. Like,
He did. Matt did go, oh, I'm just going to try to break my way through this.
Yeah.
He did a great job.
So another, so the people that he texts to be like, I have your friends, are Bo Salvatore's and Tyler Lockwood. Stefan heretofore has not been answering phone calls from Elena or Damon. And there's a brief conversation had about it where Damon is like bursts into Elena's room and is like, is Stefan here in your bed? And she's like, not Og. I haven't talked to him today. And Damon is like, I figured he's mad at me. And Elena's like, why would he mad at you? And that's how we learned that Elena did not tell Stefan about, quote, I didn't tell him I got high on blood like some crackhead and dirty danced with you.
Even though it was so tame. It was such a tame thing that she did.
It seems like they're setting it up to be a big thing that Stefan's missing. And then he gets the text and immediately
shows up.
So I guess we're just supposed to be like, he wasn't answering because he was on the phone with Klaus.
Yeah, I don't know. I do think something got cut because they did such a hard cut between like, wait, Stefan's not answering the phone. Stefan's in the room with us talking about what to do next.
Behind us.
Yeah. I do think something got cut.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah.
Damon does say, is that where you've been all morning out buying bossy pants?
I loved that line.
Yeah.
Oh, that was so silly.
That was the only acknowledgement that they did that he was suddenly with them when he wasn't.
Buying bossy pants?
We're meant to interpret that as like Stefan's been dealing with Klaus, so he hasn't
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So
this show does not care if we fully get anything they're trying to communicate.
But okay, so Stefan and Damon argue about how to approach the hostage situation. Stefan with like the secret agenda he can't say of, we can't let this guy die. So Damon goes to storm out and like take him on one on one. Mm-hmm. And Stefan vervains him in the neck and puts him on the couch and steals his daylight ring so that he cannot leave the
specifically
premises.
Because it's Damon's so like, I'm gonna kill this guy. Yeah. I'm gonna kill this man.
Yeah.
I'm gonna kill him dead.
Yeah. Damon tries to sit up off the couch and immediately gets hit with a sunray and it's like and he's like,
and Stefan's just like, I can't have Damon killing this man.
Yeah, it's so, and
I can't tell him why.
It's like, do you know what it's like? It's like knocking out your brother and then leaving the house with his shoes.
Yeah.
So that he can't go outside.
Yeah.
Like he could if he really wanted to, but it would be awkward.
Yeah, it'd suck. You'd be like, ouch, ouch, ouch.
Do we want to talk about the ambush at the Applebee's first before we do Bonnie and Professor?
Yeah, and there's also Caroline and Tyler.
That's true.
Yeah.
Should we do, let's do the other two first because the episode like
ends on the ambush.
Ends with the ambush, right?
Okay.
And the other two are shorter.
That's true.
Okay, so Bonnie, throughout the episode, it's like peppered with scenes. It's peppered with scenes of like Bonnie just kind of meditating with this professor.
It starts with Bonnie saying, I can't believe you wrote a book. And that was Hannah on the screen.
Literally the way that she said it was with the exact same voice as, you're so funny.
Yeah.
Oh my God, how tall are you?
Oh my, wow, your hands are so big. Can we compare?
Wait, hold on. Hold your hand up to my, I bet like, oh my God.
Your hands are so much bigger than mine. That's crazy. Oh my God.
Listener, Elle and I just held our hands up to each other and I did that because I know how much ridiculously smaller their hands are than mine. That's something we've already known.
And the thing is when I do it, it's never actually been flirting because my hands are comically smaller than every other person in the world.
Elle has cartoon mouse hands. In real life.
Last night I was at a birthday party and a bunch of people who didn't know how small my hands were, I compared hands.
And then you were like, you're so funny. I can't believe you wrote a book.
Wow, you guys all wrote books and you're hilarious.
Oh my God. Why are you even talking to me?
I can't believe this professor at a college wrote a book.
I know.
So weird. And three books.
I can't believe you wrote a book.
They start talking about hypnosis.
But it's such a strat. Yeah. To like,
oh my God.
It's definitely not how Bonnie meant it canonically, but it's such a
whatever. Maybe she
I think it sort of was.
Oh, really?
What's your thesis?
I think she
about?
Was flirting.
Canonically, I think it was a she can't help herself.
Yeah.
She's having a good time.
So they're talking about hypnosis, and he gives her some tea. And this is the point at which I am out on the professor and Hannah somehow a little further in. Because he is like giving her this tea. He's like, it's this thing I had in whatever country. It's better
it's
if
aboriginal.
You smoke it. Like, and obviously there's something in it. Like, obviously there's something in it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, for these reasons, I have to chop you. And yeah. Hannah was like, please, sir, can I have some more?
Okay.
They talk about how witches are naturally immune.
You keep making your case, and then I'm going to come to my defense. But you go through. I want you to go through all the things, because I do think it's really valid, all of your points of why this was not hot.
Yeah.
And I would like you to lay those out before
From the first scene is she's like, witches are naturally immune to the tea. Like, you're not going to be able to hypnotize me. And he says,
you can't gossip about me.
We're immune to the tea.
Would you like to put this earring back on? And she does. Mm-hmm.
As in like she blacked out and didn't realize he had hypnotized her to take her earring off.
Yes.
Yeah. That was creepy.
Yes.
Do you want to respond to any of that while I scroll and find the next
scene? Because we'll talk about how, like, when we flash forward to them and the progress they've made also.
Yeah, that's what I'm... Okay, so then later, they're, like, in the room...
Would you like to respond to any of these allegations?
And Bonnie is like, I just don't think I could be hypnotized. And he says, well, what do you think we've been doing for the last 7 hours? And then we, like, the lights are a little darker. We see the clock behind her. And she is like, oh, wow.
7 hours.
That's so cool. Those are all the notes I have about this.
Too. Well, then also, she's kind of going with this hypnosis because he's like, okay, the reason that you can't do your magic anymore is because like
you're scared.
Yeah, you have a mental block up because you are afraid of like the spirits of the witches and like what they could do to your grams and all of this stuff. And so like if you just kind of subconsciously let go of all that fear, you'll have your magic back again. Mm-hmm. And so she's like, I don't really think so. And then at the end of this plot line in the episode, there's a candle in front of her and after she's been hypnotized and he's like,
and guys, guess what?
And he's like, I think that now, like, if you just let go of that fear, you're going to be able to light that candle with magic easily.
All you have to do is want it.
Is want it and close your eyes. And so she closes her eyes, opens them.
Hannah's sticking her tongue out.
I love this part.
This is this was cool. So she closes her eyes, opens them. My thought is, he's going to reach out with a lighter and just light the candle.
Which would be so funny. If he was full charlatan.
I know. But she opens her eyes. The candle is unlit. But then the camera cuts back. The room is full of candles that she has lit with magic.
Yeah, because his room was surrounded with candles and she lit every candle except the one she was looking at.
Which I'm scared means that he has somehow, whatever's happened in those 7 hours means that she is under his control.
Oh, he has definitely put some malware in that brain.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, Hannah.
Yeah.
Why is that fine?
Okay. So this is
like you're on trial and the stakes are that if you found guilty, you have to go to horny jail.
Yeah, true.
Okay, straight up. So zoomed out, right? If I am thinking as my highest self, you know, if I'm thinking about like, oh, if I had a daughter, you know, if I'm like, if I'm coming from a really enlightened place, I'm like, ooh, okay, very troubling that this man is able to like kind of suddenly like almost roofie her, right? Where it's like
control the mind of a teen.
And right, like that's very alarming that he's alone in this room with this girl and he has to some degree mind altering substances.
Yeah. And we already know he has big plans for her.
Yeah, he has big plans.
We do know that.
And out of the context of the hypnosis and the psychedelics, he's also charismatic enough to convince her that this is what's best for her.
Right. And the fact
that I just had a really silly thought, can I say it?
Yeah. Yeah.
What if he didn't find anything of Graham's and just needed her and he was like, what book do I have here? And was like, I have a first edition of Cujo.
That's really funny.
Graham's secretly super into Stephen King.
That would be really funny.
So
the fact that she doesn't even realize that she's missing time, extremely alarming.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
However.
However.
I am not enlightened.
We all have weaknesses.
I am a terrestrial being.
You are a lizard.
I am a base mud creature. Okay? And this was hot. I am sorry. He was like, I'm gonna help you connect to your power.
Wow. If a soft-eyed academic boy said, I could teach you how to be a powerful witch and I'm an ally to you.
And he's like, you're stronger than even you know.
Listen, we all have a cult. Literally, that we can get inducted into. This is your cult.
Your catnip is you're stronger than you even know.
I have a lot of catnip though. That's not even
you
the
are
only
an
thing.
Easy catnip.
The thing is that like I am absolutely someone who has who I know that in the right circumstances, I would be in a cult and I would love it. Yeah. I would love it. I would thrive temporarily.
Yeah, I think it's crucial for every person to admit that about themselves.
And like that is like
for most people.
I have been, this is something that I'm like, I'm definitely not like evolved past this or anything, but upon reflection, I can look back on my life and be like, okay, there were I was in dangerous situations because I thought that something was cooler or hotter or more emotionally interesting or whatever than it really was. Like the danger actually outweighed those things. Mm-hmm. And I did not pick up on it. And I had to learn a lesson.
Yeah.
Right. 100% that has happened in my life more than once, for sure.
Same.
Now I know that I'm her.
I'm and like very susceptible to the cult of two.
Yeah,
where one folia person convinces me that they're good. Like,
yeah,
there's a podcast I listen to called Indoctrination about. It's mostly about cults, but then they'll talk about coercive control in other relationships where like basically you can end up in a cult of two where your partner is
absolutely
your cult leader.
A toxic relationship.
And I think
for
that's why this scene is like triggering me hard.
Oh, totally. No, absolutely. And like everything that you are reading is correct. Like you are correct and like how you are interpreting it is like based in fact.
Yeah.
How I am interpreting it is based in different facts.
Yes.
And those facts are horny.
So you're pleading guilty.
I'm pleading guilty, officer. Take me away.
I mean, like, the thing, like, we kink shaming and kink shaming in this podcast is like a joke now. But it did start out where we were like, oh, some of the show is really sort of like, how to put it? Troubling. Money laundering, some nasty stuff.
Yeah,
kinky shit.
Yeah.
And I think hypnosis is like one of those.
Totally. Yeah. Hypnosis.
That's maybe, like a kink people have.
It is.
Yes, it is. Hypnosis. Yeah. I don't think it was for me.
No.
For me, it's definitely that like this hot, funny dude is alone in a room with me and all these candles are lit. All these candles are lit
and
suddenly.
And he's like, you're so powerful and mysterious.
And it's just so cool.
It's the fact like being two people who find like each other mutually interesting because the type of person they are is new to the other.
Yeah.
I love that shit.
That makes sense.
Okay.
More so than like me being interesting. I like, we're very interested in each other at the same time together.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, and we could do
so
something that is.
Your kink is mutual attraction.
Yeah. Take me away, officer.
But like, to be fair, a lot of the attraction on the show is not mutual.
Yeah.
That's, you know, it's back and forth.
Oh, that's so true.
It's unrequited. It's yearning. So like, I can see the appeal of two people in a room who are just like, oh, I'm intensely like here and now. Even if it's not like in a sex way.
It's also now that Bridget put it like that, as someone who like all of my life, I have had like, it's way better now that I'm an adult and not a child. Yeah. But like all of my life, I had like all consuming oceanic crushes, right? All the time. Mm-hmm. And it would like, it would be all consuming.
Yeah.
And then, so that I think literally did turn reciprocal affection into a kink.
Yeah, sure.
Mm-hmm. I'm
I
just
relate
like,
to that from a different angle.
Yeah.
Is that healthy or broken? Someone tell me.
I think it's
combo platter.
It's a combo platter.
It's half and half.
I think it's very human.
Okay, I'll take that.
I definitely also had really insane big crushes, like mostly as a child. And like, I think that is why I'm so fascinated by like, toxic people. Relationships in media now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Where it's like, I'm so obsessed with you. I can never let this go, no matter what. Mm-hmm. Like, even if it's unhealthy.
Yeah.
And you know what? We can all play out our psychodramas in media and it's way healthier.
And together, here we are.
and then I get to go home to someone who likes me. And then I'm like, ha ha ha, I'm winning at my kink.
Yeah.
I get to go home to someone who's also obsessed with me, but not toxic.
Mm-hmm.
There's that that thing about feeling special, like being acknowledged for being special. So Bonnie in this situation, I think, is feeling really special because she's been so down and she lost her magic. And now someone has faith in her and has helped her bring it back.
Yeah. And no one in her life really has time to like
Literally, everyone has been like ignoring her and only calling her when they need her for something. And now this person is like, I see you for you. I'm interested in like who you are and what your struggles are. And I believe in you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I can see being super susceptible to that when your best friend is not checking in on you.
A connection to Grams. And then also he's fucking remotely helpful.
Yeah.
Like she has been helping everyone else. And when she has trouble, no one helps her.
No one cares
because she's beyond them. She's like in terms of skill level, in terms of like what she's like capable of. She is genuinely beyond all of them. She's leagues ahead of them. Mm-hmm. So when she's in crisis, no one is qualified to help her.
You're so right. Yeah.
Except for this
Professor Hottie.
Steamy professor. Oh no.
Oh no.
He's got so many candles in his office.
They're like next to his books.
Somebody call 911.
I'm just thinking about how you managed to be engaged to Jeannie, who is the opposite of you. When Elle just said that's a fire hazard, and you went, it sure is.
That's why we work.
And Jeannie's like,
no, it's a fire hazard.
Stop it.
We need to deal. Jeannie's already turning off the oven.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, I like the smell of gas a little bit.
That's why you gotta light the candles in the dungeon where things can't get set on fire.
Yeah, because the walls are made of stone and chains aren't flammable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. So then the other B plot is
Caroline and
so
Tyler.
Much blood to douse.
Yeah, but there's oil all over everything.
Oh no.
The thing, I said this.
Uh-oh. Oh, don't say it now because that's my kink shame. I wrote down the exact quote.
Okay.
I'm saving that for later. In the Tyler Caroline drama, so Caroline gets to Tyler's house and there's a girl there. We've never seen her before, right?
We have. She showed up a few episodes ago, but she hasn't appeared for a little bit. I had completely forgotten about
her. I don't
remember
her at all.
So she is the girl that Tyler met in the Appalachians who helped him break his sire bond with Klaus.
Did we know that about her?
We did.
Okay.
We did.
When she was introduced, her introduction was super abrupt.
Yeah.
She sort of just like walked in, was super hot, and was like, Tyler, you remember me from the Appalachian Mountains where I helped you stop being a sire bond.
Yeah.
It was like almost literally that.
Okay. Literally.
So Caroline comes in and she goes, oh, you're Haley goes, oh, you're Tyler's girl. Well, I'm Haley.
And she calls him Ty.
Yeah.
She keeps calling him Ty. And then Caroline gets to go, well, Ty thinks.
How it goes, though, is she's like, oh, you're Tyler's girl. Like, I'm Haley. And Caroline is like, sorry, who the fuck are you?
Yeah.
And Haley says, I don't do teen drama. You'll have to go talk to Ty. Which would also set me on fire.
I would kill her.
Well, because Caroline did do a big swing when she was like, so she walked in, she sees a hot girl, right? Mm-hmm. So Caroline's POV, right?
Yeah.
Caroline is straight girl poisoned in a lot of the like relationship dynamic stuff.
Yeah, for sure.
Totally understandable. I get how this happens.
It's how society.
Mm-hmm. So, okay. So Morgan, I'm right.
I love how much of this episode is you being an apologist for people you think are hot.
Okay.
That's a lot of this podcast.
You know what? You two come for Morgan and me all the time. But as Morgan and I stand together strong.
For the Brusband.
I can't believe you just allied yourself with Morgan Brusband Orman.
Morgan made this podcast happen. We owe Morgan so much.
And this is the cult thing.
This no fuck.
Morgan's
fuck.
Like, Hannah, you're so much stronger than you know.
It's not that. I'm telling you.
No, I know.
Okay, but honestly, that is funny.
Okay. So, from Caroline's POV, she comes in, she sees a hot girl. She's like, excuse me. Mm-hmm. And she's like, hi, who are you? Haley's like, oh, I am Ty's friend, right? Like, this is a summary, right? I'm Ty's friend. Caroline's like, can't be much of a friend because I'm his girlfriend. And
I've never heard of you. I know all of Ty's friends.
And she's like, okay, ask him. And Caroline's like, let's cut the shit. She does say that. She says, let's cut the shit. Like, tell me whatever.
What is the deal here?
And then that's when Haley's like, okay, I don't do this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that it's genuinely devastating because Caroline, as someone who is in high school,
mm-hmm.
That's threatening in high school, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah.
When on her turf, on her mm-hmm. home turf, mm-hmm. that carries a lot more weight. Mm. But this girl is from the fucking mountains and she's a wolf.
Yeah.
And she's also very hot and doesn't care about you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, you are going to lose this fight every time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just through like the sheer she is not participating.
Yeah,
yeah, totally.
So, and also like we don't know how old she is, but like her saying like I don't teen. Do teen drama. Yeah. Like it almost it makes it seem like she might be 20 or plus.
I would love for someone else to describe this because someone had to describe it to me in the moment. I missed it.
Okay.
But when Tyler is on the phone with Klaus, does Klaus say something about I know you cheated on Caroline?
Yeah. So basically what happens is Tyler's talking to a hybrid. The hybrid is like, I've got to go into try and help with the hostage situation because Klaus told me to. And Tyler's like, you don't have to do everything Klaus tells you to. Don't go to the hostage thing. You're going to die.
Yeah.
And the guy's like, okay, like, I don't believe you can't just like not listen to Klaus. We're hybrids. Right. We have to listen to Klaus. And Tyler's like, okay, watch this. So he calls Klaus and starts off very confrontational. Klaus is like, Tyler, what's up? And Klaus is like, I don't have to listen to you. Take that. And then Klaus is like, you really want to step to me when I know your little secret? I know about that girl in the Appalachians.
Mm.
And Caroline can overhear this phone call. So Tyler,
she's like right next to him.
Tyler, instantly humbled, is like, okay, bye. Hangs up. Everyone in the room is like, what?
Caroline was that? Devastated.
You don't have to be a vampire either to hear that conversation.
Yeah.
She was so close.
She was really close. She absolutely heard it. And Tyler is like not saying anything. Like Tyler's not being like, oh, he misunderstood. Oh, here's what he meant by mm-hmm. that. Like he is just like, And Caroline leaves. And then the guy is like, okay, Klaus just got you.
Yeah.
I am going to go and try and help with the hostage situation. Yeah. Which, you know, he goes mm-hmm. to his death. We'll come back to it.
Yeah.
That guy dies. Grizzly.
I love that guy's stuff.
It ruled. What else happens? So
she says Caroline's like best line, I think, is she walks in and they're like, I think it's after the guy dies. Mm-hmm. Tyler and Haley are comforting each other. And Caroline is like, oh, I'm sorry, excuse me, am I interrupting something?
Yeah, because Haley is like fully like arms
on
him.
Her hands are like on him in an inch.
She's definitely and Haley leaves. Into him. Yeah. And what Caroline says is, I keep waiting for you to make up some dumb story so I can call you a liar.
That was so good.
And,
I was
like, and then she was like, is that now? Is that what we're doing
is
now?
That now?
Yeah.
And then, but the thing is, the thing that's like so hard about this is that like genuinely, Caroline, if you only look at it from her POV,
mm-hmm.
she's justified and she makes great points.
Yeah. Yep.
And then unfortunately, Tyler has a different POV that also makes great points. Mm-hmm. And so it's a great lineup of like both of these people.
Yeah.
Like there is a version in which both of these people are in the right. Like each of these people could write a really compelling Reddit, am I the asshole, and come out the winner.
You're right.
Yeah, I would totally be really shocked if this was a clean cut case of him cheating on her though, given how hard it's pointing us in that direction.
Right. Especially mm-hmm. because so what he says mm-hmm. when she asks him like directly, he's like, I will tell you straight up. I let Klaus think that because in reality, she helped me break the sire bond mm-hmm. and there are other hybrids that need to be freed.
Yeah.
She helped me do that. That's all that happened. If I let him think that, then he won't kill us so that we can continue trying to save other hybrids. Mm. And Caroline's like, okay. And like the scene kind of ends. And then, so we're left with being like, damn, that's a really great point. Like he was like in like a very coerced place. And then, but then mm-hmm. like this happened in real life where we were like sitting with the episode and then I was like, then why didn't he mention her?
Yeah, right. Yeah,
that's right.
Then why didn't he mention her to Caroline?
Yeah.
If it is 100% altruistic.
On the level.
If it's totally on the level, mm-hmm. why didn't you mention it?
Elle and I kind of briefly talked about emotional cheating.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So he, even if he doesn't realize it yet, he still, when she came on the scene on his mm-hmm. home turf, he realized there was some kind of emotional
I don't want these two people to know about each
other. Yeah,
mm-hmm. basically. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Even if nothing happened, he's still nervous.
Is like, why are you nervous?
And also, Haley is so clearly into him and down.
If it's
so,
like, best case scenario is like she like was hitting on him and he was not
and he didn't shut
responding
it down.
To it.
Right.
Yeah. If but she, also not shutting it
if
down.
If she was less like so into him, then he would could have an out of being like what, I'm not gonna assume that she's into me, like just blah 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 blah.
But it's like,
so
she's like, obviously into him.
But obviously like tight. Like her shorts are so tiny. Like she's into him.
Mm.
Yeah. So yeah, he has a very great reason. He does have a very great reason. But then why didn't he say anything?
He should have said,
If it was 100% above board and that very great reason was the only thing, why didn't he mention it?
Yeah, I'm on her side in the Reddit. Am I the asshole? For the moment.
Yeah.
And we'll honestly, see what update comes up.
Yeah.
Well, like,
edit. We had a talk.
You can make an argument for why he might not totally be the asshole, but she's definitely not the asshole.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, she's coming in pretty strong.
Mm. She is.
And like, that is the most assholish part is that she's like, oh, are you cheating on me? Like, you know, like she's like, she made a good point where she was like, I was devastated when I thought you were dead. Right. Yeah. And he was like, I almost did die. Mm-hmm. And Haley stopped that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So be nice to her, please. You know, like, like everyone has, like, what's the everyone sucks here where nobody sucks here?
ESH, is it
nobody?
ESH. Yeah.
But like, everyone has a point.
Yeah.
Is the one.
EHAP. That's not one.
EHAP.
EHAP.
Let's talk about the ambush at the Applebee's.
Ambush at the Applebee's.
This is my straight to TV movie.
This is my Panic at the Disco cover band.
We already talked about how Connor has kidnapped all the humans. He's holding them hostage. Damon and Stefan are now outside trying to do like a recon mission, and Elena comes in kind of hot, going like, I think Stefan goes in first and they take the tunnel.
Yeah.
But Elena wants to go in to get her brother. Mm-hmm. And so Damon tells her to pretend to be a human because he doesn't know she's a vampire. At this point, I think Jeremy gets shot. He was like on a pressure plate.
Yeah. So Stefan and Matt are on like different sides of the brick wall.
Yeah.
Stefan hears Matt hitting against the brick wall. That used to be a thing to the wine cellar. And so it's just Jeremy and the guy and Dean. Is that the name of the man?
Dean?
Who? The other the name hybrid? Of the hybrid that goes in.
I don't know. He also Klaus ordered it.
The one that gets
his name was Dean, but that might be supernatural.
Yeah. He doesn't last long.
I don't think his name matters, frankly.
So first, that guy comes, he steps in. Steps on the pad and it activates. He doesn't notice and steps off.
Did you mention the, there's like a tripwire?
Yeah, talk about that.
Yeah, so he like,
he steps over the tripwire. Onto the pad.
Such a
so and
smart.
It is so like great. Literally, I think it's actually kind of wild. That's like an accurate, like that is a way they make IEDs. Not the US Army in Iraq, but that's a way that like combatants do it. So I just think it's wild that they did the research of like, wow, what would this man having encountered in army?
Yeah, this is the most research they've done
ever. But so he steps off and like gets just shattered, like coated
in
glass and nails. And like,
are we told that there's wolf venom in there?
There is. Werewolf venom is coating all of the like screws in the IED.
Which again. Werewolf venom.
Yeah,
I know. It's always going to be so stupid. We just need to move past it. It's so stupid. Anyway. What was I saying?
So we know what happens. And then I think he, what's his face? The mercenary blows a hole in him.
Jordan. Yeah, he takes out like a shotgun.
It's giving me mercenary.
He is giving mercenary, even if it's not
his accurate. LinkedIn.
Yeah.
So he blows a hole in the guy. Dean is a arrivederci.
Yeah, extremely dead. Like there is a shot where we see through
the hole that has been blown in him.
So yeah. This guy, he gets hit with shrapnel that has werewolf venom in it, and then he gets a shotgun through the chest that like literally do the camera through, and I love when they do that.
Yes. And so that is what lets us know how the tripwire situation at the front door works.
Yeah. But also that when Jeremy steps on a plate,
exactly,
we know that if he steps off, he'll
that's what I'm saying. So we cut to Jeremy is on this thing, and we already know what will happen to Jeremy to Jer Bear.
Pretty good visual setup.
And so then one of my favorite things that happens is there's a cut to a scene where Elena is on the phone and does this thing that she always fucking does, where something goes catastrophically wrong. The note I wrote down was, call me Steph, and I heard things escalated. Where, like, things get worse, and she's like, surely this man can talk to me. Surely this is a good
it's
time.
It's so literally crazy. It's so, so crazy.
She said she heard that there was an explosion at the grill, and she needs to know what's going on right now. But I guess they showed us this call, so we'd understand why she stormed down there.
Yeah.
To take it it's into bewildering. Her own hands.
Yeah, I know. But yeah, and she does exactly that. She storms down to take it into her own hands.
Yeah.
And Damon, like, go, girl. She can't leave. So she's leaving, and he's like, listen, if you're gonna do this, at least mm-hmm. be smart about it. He doesn't know you're a vampire. Get close to him and then mm-hmm. kill him. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And she kind of nods grimly and then goes out.
Which is good advice, honestly.
Yeah, yeah, I agree with that.
Which I think, like, honestly, one of the things I've come to appreciate about Damon is that he, like, takes her seriously as, like, a vampire. Mm-hmm. And he's not like, I'm gonna try to protect you from your destiny or whatever.
Yeah, he's like, at a certain point, somebody needs to get shit done.
Right. Yeah. And, like, either you trust this person that you care about to do it or not.
He just, he often is like, and it's me. And then in this one scenario, he was like, okay, I'm out of commission this time.
Yeah, right. Like Stefan is patronizing to her mm-hmm. very often. And Damon is like, at the very all least, right, like, girl. Let's go do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. So
she does get the better of him.
Yeah, she kind of goes in and is like, Jeremy's my only family. Please don't do this. Because like the guy is like Stefan, like he's got like a knife to Jeremy's throat and Stefan's there and Elena intercedes and it all kind of goes wrong.
Yeah.
Somebody like the,
what?
Yeah. So like she gets kind of close to Jordan and then like vampire leaps at him. He gets out of her way. Like he shoots Jeremy in the flank and Jeremy kind of like bleeding out steps off of the pad and Stefan has to like grab him and pull up the table as a
shield. I thought Elena shot Jeremy.
No.
Because she gets a weapon from him,
because
right?
He's talking to Elena and he's like, I will shoot Jeremy in front of her if you don't come out, Stefan.
Yeah.
And then when he goes to shoot, she tackles him. Yeah. And then it kind of clips his
okay.
side.
I thought it was like her trying to grab the gun and she shot him, but I see. Okay.
In a similar, like, in the struggle, Jeremy.
Yeah. Okay. Got it.
Yeah. And so, like, she, like, he now
knows
she's a
vampire. I'm sure she'll still find a way to blame herself for this.
100%.
Well, because then, how she resolves this is that she gives him vampire blood to heal. Yeah. And then he comes to and she says, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jordan does get away through the tunnels.
Through the wine cellar.
Where he meets
there are so many tunnels in this show. We need more tunnels in our lives. Yeah. Like, they're always escaping through tunnels.
They're
like,
good exits.
We don't have any of those.
Oh, we also see he gets a tattoo when the guy explodes.
Yes. Yeah.
Like, that's how fast it
happens.
Jeremy's
potential as a hunter has been unlocked. And
Sorry. Well, yes, that also.
Yeah.
But when the first guy, when Dean, if that is his
Jordan.
Real name, gets exploded.
If that is his real name.
When he gets exploded and then shot a hole through, we see another tattoo appear on the mercenary, which is how you were like, I'm going to do some calculus here. I think he's only killed 3 vampires.
Yeah, based on the surface area that this new tattoo is covering. Yeah. Okay. But so Stefan and Damon... Like, so Stefan catches up to Jordan in the tunnels around the same time Damon does. And Damon is like, let's kill him now. And Stefan is like, let's absolutely not do that. but I will not tell you why. So Damon is like, are you in league with Klaus? Like, what is going on?
Yeah. Like, earlier you can't keep secrets when there's literally, like, mind control
in the
exists.
Episode, when Elena discovers Damon was revenged, Damon is like, there's only one reason, or there's two reasons he'd be behaving like this. Either he's in league with Klaus or he's thralled.
Yeah. Which, he's right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So
I don't know how they haven't embraced radical honesty as the only way
the
forward.
The only solution.
There, I guess because then we'd run out of plot.
There would simply be no show if people talked out their problems.
Yeah.
So Stefan basically intercedes and tells Jordan to run for it while he keeps Damon down. But then Jordan runs into Elena.
Yeah.
And it literally, sucks. Like, it is genuinely great cutting how they do, like, it's Stefan and Damon, like, battling and... Like, Damon finally gets Stefan to admit, like, his tattoos are a map to a potential cure, and that could cure Elena. And then she wouldn't have to be a vampire, and she wouldn't have to be so fucking miserable. Mm-hmm. And then, like, this is the only reason I'm doing this. Like, I want to be able to give her this thing that she wants.
And he's like, I didn't tell you because Klaus would kill anyone who knew.
And then Damon's like, okay, well, now I know. And now we can be on the same page. Great. He lets go of Stefan's heart. Cut to Elena snaps this guy's neck.
So we cut to this guy... Shoots Elena with a stake. She says, "You missed," and snaps
his
neck with her bare
neck.
Hands.
Iconic.
He says, you know, you're trying to save your brother. You're the biggest monster.
And this
ever
is
meet.
The moment where I became problematic, and I was like, "That kind of hit for me. Like, no, that
really where you became the first problematic person on the show.
Yeah, I was saying I took a turn from you.
No, that was it was a good look on her.
God, you're obsessed with me.
Yeah, I am obsessed with you.
So yeah, Elena killed that guy. Stefan is like, they dig a hole for him. They're burying him, and
she's like, "I killed him. I have to bury him."
Yeah, and Elena, she in this process starts like breaking down, crying. It's she's sobbing. Like, "I killed a man," and Stefan and Damon are just standing there awkwardly watching. Neither of them are going to hug her.
It's so weird. Like, so I don't know why they would block it like this.
It feels very like the
she is full standing, full sobbing, like in the woods.
Yeah.
And they're watching her.
It could be because they both feel guilty that like neither of them are telling her, "Hey, this could have been your only chance."
I also think they're like, "Well, I don't know if either of us should hug her in front of the other," which is such insane teen boy logic.
Oh my god.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. So she's freaking out. And she's like, "Damon told me to kill him, and so I did." And now, like, she's regretting it.
Yeah.
But not even, she doesn't even know.
She also, I have a note that says,
she just regrets it whole cloth, like, killing someone.
Right before she kills him, she finds out that Stefan and Damon were keeping something from her, and that someone compelled Jeremy because Jeremy forgot a whole day.
Yeah.
And that's part of why she's so angry.
That's true. Mm-hmm. She's like, something is up in, like, she's like really still keyed don't up. Know the whole
Something's up in Mystic Falls.
When isn't it?
The kind of smaller wrap-up scenes at the end, there's one where Matt and Jeremy gaslight April into making her wear a Vervain bracelet. Oh
my God. I loved this scene. This was so mean of them.
It was so mean, but also pretty funny.
Move. Yeah. So she's so like, do you guys want to like hang out and get coffee? Like she cannot remember the hostage situation.
It's dark.
She says, she goes, "Okay, well, so there was like a gas main thing in Applebee's," and Jeremy's like, "Yeah, I heard about that." And then she's like, "And then we had to go to Tyler's to see Caroline, and now we're here." And it was just such a like,
bleak.
Wow, it's like this girl got hypnotized.
Yeah. And so as she's walking away, Jeremy drops a Vervain bracelet on the ground and is like, "Oh, you dropped this." She goes, "No, that's not mine." And he goes, "Really?
Wait, like, let me see your wrist."
Yeah, and Matt's just like, Matt's like, "Wow, that's cute.
Wow, that looks really great on you.
That looks really cute on you. You should always wear it." And she's like, okay. Yeah. Because genuinely, this girl is lonely and two cute older boys are like, "Wow, this bracelet we found on the cute."
And then we pan.
Not the cute.
Eye charts are good.
And then we pan from her wrist to Jeremy's and see that he has a hand tattoo.
Yeah. Yes. As in his potential has been awakened.
Yeah. Achievement unlocked.
Yes. Achievement unlocked. He's vampire.
Imagine a little pop-up window that says his potential has been unwoken.
Do you know what else gets unlocked?
What's that?
In the show? The six locks Damon had to break to get into Stefan's journal.
Fuck yes! So Damon reads Stefan's vampire journal and like gets caught up on all the plot. And then so at the end, Stefan and Damon are having a conversation where they're like, "Well, let's like not tell Elena that she just killed her chance at becoming a human again. Like, there's still other hunters out there. They also have maps. Like, we got four more shots at this."
Right.
And then Damon is like, "You know, like, why do you even want to turn her human again?" And Stefan kind of like says his reasoning for this.
Which do go into a little bit because...
I mean, again with the paternalistic, he's like, I think he thinks that she just like cannot handle being a vampire. Mm-hmm. You know, like she is racked with guilt over killing someone. And he's like, she can't, like, she's so nice and sweet. Like, she's not going to be able to handle having to do what vampires have
He cannot handle uncomfortable transition periods.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is a flaw that many, many people have, right? Where it's like,
Stefan's having it at other people constantly.
Other people constantly, where he's literally, sometimes a person is in a place of transition in their life where they just have to go through the hard part.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then on the other side, they'll like have learned a skill. Mm-hmm. They'll deal with whatever comes next better.
Yeah. Sometimes like, they're in grad school and it's really hard and it sucks and they're miserable.
Mm-hmm. Doesn't mean that he should
be like drop out of grad school.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Like, I don't. And
he's like, okay, grad school's not working out.
Yeah. And basically. it's like, that should be her decision.
That should be her decision. Yeah.
Because it wasn't her decision to become a vampire.
So it really wasn't. Like,
it also shouldn't be her decision not to. Problematic. Yeah.
So he's like, she's having a hard time. That means that it needs to stop happening.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Which is not how hard times work.
Yeah. Like, he could literally just talk to her and be like, okay, do not get your hopes up. If there were a theoretical cure, would you
what would you want?
That?
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. Right.
Yeah. And again, Damon says the right thing.
Damon says,
people hate it when he's right.
Huh. You want to cure her because you can't love her like this.
Yes.
But I love her either way. Mm. So if I do this, I'm doing it for you.
And you know what? That tracks because Damon, head over heels for Catherine, mm-hmm. who is a murderer, mm-hmm. Elena.
He poses it as a question, though. He's like, are you actually doing it because she wants it or because you can't love her as a vampire?
Yeah. Which is such a good question.
It's such a good question.
How did he answer that, by the way?
I don't think he did.
I don't think he did. He took it as a rhetorical, maybe.
Gotcha.
And he was like, because I'm fine either way. Yeah. So I'm doing this for you.
Because I am interested in how Stefan, like if Stefan thinks that he, I don't know. Yeah. I don't fully get where
I don't think Stefan thought about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. If he is so convinced, like if he has to convince himself that everything he does is selfless and for other people,
I mean,
that's how you turn out a ripper. Yeah. You're not in touch with your own wants and needs and you sublimate them until they all explode and you're a ripper.
Mm-hmm. Literally.
Mm-hmm. Which is sort of exactly what Damon said in the last episode.
Yeah.
This episode ends with Elena writing in her diary again, but that she ends up having a daymare. She's hallucinating blood all over the walls, and she goes into the bathroom, and it says it's written in blood, killer.
She's the killer.
On the mirror.
Killer.
And it's also that scene from Black Swan where she writes a whore on the mirror.
Yeah.
Like it's framed the same way.
But then she blinks and the blood's gone.
Yeah.
No, she wakes up on the floor.
Oh, yeah.
She wakes up on the floor.
She slips on the floor in the dream, in the blood, and then, like, gets
comes
herself
to
up.
On the floor.
So she, all is not well in Elena's psyche.
Yeah.
No, not at all.
Nor has it ever been as long as we've known her.
King fame, king shame?
Oof.
Okay, I would like to king fame. I'm going to say Damon for respecting Elena's autonomy in any way.
Mm-hmm. Only because he had to.
And I'm going to kink shame Hannah for this quote. Now, this is intersecting with my other kink, which is fucking with you.
Right. This was because I was talking about the professor being hot and then you kept grimacing bigger and bigger.
Yeah. And then Hannah was like, no, this is hot and good.
This is great because I'm getting so much out of this.
I'm getting
so much out of this in so many directions.
Yeah. So that's my kink shame is you.
Yeah. Right. And do you know what you've just done for me?
Yeah, I do.
So much.
I do. I'm gonna
go. I would like to kink fame.
When their kink is being kink shame.
Oh no. What was it that I said earlier where I was like, Bridget has a humiliation kink in the other way? Bridget just loves humiliating people.
That's not wrong.
I want to kink shame the professor kink fame the professor.
Mm-hmm. Again, yeah.
For what reason?
I'm trying to think of one. I guess I don't have one. I can't really stand behind any of his actions.
You can just say that it's hot
but
to you.
He got her to light a bunch of candles.
Yeah that was hot. Yeah.
So, you think the foresight to put all the candles out in advance was hot?
Yes. And you know, you as someone who we've lived together and you've seen my decorating techniques, baby, you know I'm all about unlit candles everywhere that are lit only rarely when I feel I've deserved it. You know, candles.
Yeah. You should light your candles more.
I really should. I really should. But I'm always like,
I started doing this thing where every Sunday I like take a really long hot shower with a candle.
That's great.
Nice. It's delightful. I really recommend it.
A little hot toasty time.
A little hot toasty time. Anyway.
With two elements.
And also I'm breathing.
Yeah.
So three.
Yeah. And then you're made of earth. Sort of.
You take an outdoor shower.
You take a mud bath.
I'm washing the dirt off my body. So that's.
Yeah.
So it's sort of like I'm the avatar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Anyway.
Okay. I would like to kink shame. Actually, Haley objectively did nothing wrong, but I'm going to kink shame her because I think
she did some things wrong.
I think she
could have cleared the air herself.
She could have cleared the air better. She like she's also, I think, a little into the fact that she and Tyler have a connection that he and his girlfriend don't.
Yeah.
So kink shame her for that, even though I don't think she was objectively in the wrong this episode.
Yeah.
She's just, she gives off a bad vibe.
Honestly, this is like yellow card. Is like, well, that's what I'm giving. That's what this king shame is. Yeah. I mean, this king shame is a yellow card to Haley.
Slow your roll.
Yeah. Hey, yeah. Hey, pump the brakes, lady. Pump the brakes, Missy.
I will kink shame Jordan for war crimes.
Yeah, great one.
But, what about how the fact that he was really good at them?
He was really good at the war crimes, but that means that he's probably practiced a lot.
Right.
Yeah. I feel like very few people are sort of like war crime prodigies.
But I mean, you know, there's tons of things that we've seen this episode where just because someone was really good at something doesn't mean they've ever used that skill for evil. Right?
Yeah, I guess. I'll still kink shame Jordan for the war crimes.
Yeah, okay.
And I will kink fame Matt for leaping into action and trying to get them out of the hostage situation.
Yeah.
In a way that kind of works.
Situation is right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's a really good kink fame for Matt. But there's also something to shame him for this episode. I'm gonna kink shame Matt for when Jeremy's gaslighting April to wear the bracelet. He just like
wingmans.
He automatically jumps in. He's like, "Yeah, it looks great on you."
Yeah,
like
yeah.
he doesn't blink. Thought.
The thing, okay, can we kink shame him for that? Because objectively, that was something like they did that to protect her. It was fucked up, but they did do that to. Okay,
yeah, yes. No, you're right.
But I don't know why I'm going to bat for fucking everyone right now.
because you think they're hot.
It's because I'm like, well, listen, I've been on the defense today. Maybe everyone who's ever on the defense is cool in me.
Yeah, we're all misunderstood together.
Yeah.
I'm going to kink fame Elena.
Chalker.
Even though she's like really spiraling out of control and breaking down this episode, like something's breaking apart. She still has like Jeremy forefront of her mind. Like she hasn't lost focus. Mm. So she's like, I'm going to save my brother. And she fucking does.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And she took that into her own hands.
Would
which I liked.
Love if they became a crime fighting duo.
Yeah.
Because they are both secretly really good at a thing that they've never really gotten to flex their muscles about.
Like if he was the Alfred to her, like he's at the computer being like, the thing
I'm like imagining them both out in the field because like we saw how he killed that guy before he got sent to Colorado. He is good at it. He hasn't been let to be good at it.
I was imagining him using MiFi and Bing and just being
I'm just picturing
Elena's I'm using MiFi to jack into their mainframe.
Let's plug.
Bridget.
Yeah.
I would like you to do a little show and tell.
Okay. I'm in a stunt plug.
Yes.
Stunt plug.
Here is the collection.
Guys, look at it.
I like them a lot.
These are
this
the
is such a good color palette.
Purple rolling paper. This is the
here. Put them up to the mic.
So that you can,
here. Yeah, let me
do some ASMR. Yeah, if you want to be my Foley guy.
Purple rolling papers.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, mm-hmm. So, I mean, that sounds good.
Get some crunkle in there. Wait, should I do a little? Can I take one out?
Yeah.
I love Foley work.
Here's our little. Purple rolling paper. I'm rolling you a joint.
I have learned I'm not good at rolling joints anymore. So that's I've never been. Consider.
No, well, it's hard. We've talked about this. It's because we were girls in high school.
Yeah.
Like,
I either understuff it or overstuff
it. You stick out a cigarette and somebody sticks out a lighter, you know?
Literally. I was fully living with Bridget as an adult when I like got over a little bit that like, I can buy my own drugs even though I'm a girl.
Yeah.
You know, like that was just like a sort of a toxic thing. Just some gender roles that were held over, which is that if you're a girl, you don't need to buy your own drugs.
I do think that weed should be free for all women.
Yeah. I agree.
That's my platform.
I think actually women and anyone that was socialized at any point as a woman.
Yeah. I think any women or a member of the LGBT community should
all
get
queers.
Free weed.
Girls, gays, and theys.
Girls, gays, and theys should get free weed forever.
Yeah. Mm. And then this is a little odor-proof joint capsule.
It's screw, right?
It's
just like, it's good that you have to screw it because then it won't fall open.
Ooh,
that is like nice, sturdy material.
Mm-hmm.
You can put little joints in this.
Yeah, and you said it was scent-proof? It's odor-proof.
Odor-proof.
It's like aluminum, so it's not heavy.
Ooh.
I'll hold it.
Yeah, I won't hold it. Thanks.
And then
and he's got that keychain.
There are these little matches.
Oh my god! I want to. Okay.
Now I have a little matches.
So cute.
The little,
can light it?
The yeah. Two little aliens.
I won't set them. I won't set the mic on fire. UFO.
Thank you.
Okay. Oops. My bad. Okay, I messed this up. Okay. 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 Okay.
You got it.
Are you afraid of the dark?
Ooh.
Ooh.
That was a really satisfying sound.
Yeah. It was.
Yeah, so there's this stuff. There's like a little, there's like a little sticker sheet called Monster Munchies. That's like 90s foods as monster foods.
That's so cute.
So like Pop Rocks becomes Pop Roaches, yes. Like that kind of thing.
Yes.
There's a print that's like vintage matchbooks with weed puns on them. Oh. There's some like classic monster style monsters as high school stoners. It's just like a bunch of cute stuff.
Yeah.
And you can find those items at galaxybraindesign.com or follow us on Instagram at galaxybraindesign if you don't like weed, but you do like gay stuff or spooky stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Or there's something there for everyone.
Nice color palettes.
Yeah. This is L. This is the cool section of that rainbow that every time you're like, I love the rainbow.
It makes sense why it's so like pleasant to look at.
Mm-hmm. That when I die, I just want a like swatch of the color palette on my tombstone. I don't even want to be buried, but like such a labor.
We'll just
of,
go.
What is the tombstone cover, marking then?
We'll cover your tombstone in washi tape.
I guess I just want it on my urn.
Where are
I want
you?
My urn painted.
Yeah,
in the,
that's fine.
I'll just get one made with this.
Oh my god!
On it.
Can I bedazzle your urn? I just get so high one night and bedazzle your urn. That is literally
it.
What you would want.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It. Oh my god.
But just everyone that's still alive that I love, you have to invite over to bedazzle my urn.
I love that.
And then no one shows up because they're like, "What?" And then I get even higher and bedazzle it even harder. It's
you
so
really
garish.
You want to be in charge of bedazzling Bridget's
You can
urn,
be
is what
in
I'm
charge. You just someone has to make death themed cocktails.
Ooh,
so true.
Like okay. Cremains, it's the new Cremains Day.
So you're distracting me with another activity so that your spouse has the chance to rescue your urn from my bedazzle gun.
Thank you so much for listening to The Vampire Journals. To support us, you can subscribe, share, and visit our website, journalspodcast.com. You can also follow us on Twitter and Instagram at journalspodcast.